The only way to get closer to the Cavaliers is to make the team. It's Who's Talking with Frank Maloney and Jim Hobbo Hobgood on Fox Sports 910.
All right, welcome back. Second half hour, maybe a little less than that. I think we had a little technical issue with the streaming of the broadcast. Hopefully that's been corrected. So if you're out there trying to listen on the iHeart stream, we trust you are now getting our broadcast. We're visiting with J.C. Poma, former Henrico High School athlete and Virginia athlete as well. J.C., I know you're a friend of Chris Sill. Did you graduate the same year as Chris?
I did. I graduated from UVA in 2011 and high school in 2007. Yeah. He was a Godwin guy. I was a Henrico guy, but still grew up out here together.
Longtime friends. And we're obviously talking to you about the Georgia Tech game. Just to reference what you said earlier, Virginia did possess the ball for 36-43, Georgia Tech 23-17. Against Georgia Tech, that's highly unusual. Obviously, Georgia Tech was throwing the ball a lot more than they like to or usually do. You know, even Frank has been a little less concerned about Fairchild's play calling. How do you feel about the play calls here of late?
You know, I think when your script works early, that balanced attack allows you to do some of those things we saw on Saturday with the misdirection. The Wildcat was thrown in there, especially on that touchdown. And that's when you'll win football games. I've never been, you know, a personal big fan of running the screen too much, especially as you continue to run the sweep. But if we can establish Daniel Hamm up the middle, I think that'll allow you to do a little bit more. We know Smoke is an unbelievable back out there in space. I mean, maybe not as much in between the tackles, but you get Daniel going on the inside early, that opens up so much more on the outside and allows you to do allows your play action to be a lot more effective. And I think that is when John's decision making is when he's at his best, is when he, you know, can run that fake and have a couple of options there, especially with Smoke as his check down route.
Well, one thing's for certain. I think Coach Fairchild this season has been in a better rhythm with his play calling. I think there's been enough trick or surprise plays he's gone against his own script on occasion, and it has caught other teams' defenses off guard. I think what has made life harder for Fairchild, and I'm going to give him more of the benefit of the doubt, is the Virginia offensive line has been shuffled so much. It's like a five-shoe deck in Vegas. I mean, you know, it's just been beaten to death for years. And he's got so many guys that are out hurt on the line. I'm sure he has to make adjustments for that. Heck, there was a screen pass that would have gone quite the distance, but Eric Smith tripped up Smoke right in front of the Virginia bench. And yeah. Do you remember that play?
And I think one thing a lot of people, the casual fan, doesn't always observe is that when you run these mixed directions and get your running backs out there in space on a screen pass, a wide receiver screen, is you don't see kind of those blocks that go into making a play like that happen and getting an offensive lineman out there in space. And that's a timing thing. And when you don't have, you know, your offensive line that's played together for many games and can get in that rhythm, it makes, you know, our type of offense or the offense that we find most effective tough to run. And we saw on Saturday they were able to do that. And, you know, that led to a balanced attack, which opens everything up. And just being, I remember our left guard, and I'm forgetting his name now. If you guys have that in front
Burbank.
Of you, Ross, correct?
Right.
I mean, there were two plays early on. He had that one penalty, but other than maybe those two penalties, he was unbelievable out there in space early. And I think that allowed us to get out to that first quarter lead. And that's one thing we hadn't done well all season. I think we've been outscored in the first quarter 60-67-something to 30, somewhere along those lines. But when you get out to that first quarter lead, I mean, it opens everything up the rest of the game. So we did that really effectively, and I think that set us up really well going into the rest of the game.
You know, Virginia on Saturday at Scott Stadium, they did a number of things that were, to me, incredibly encouraging, particularly this at this point in the season. Number one, they led after the first quarter, And with the exception of one error on defense where they let number 49 get free down the sideline for that touchdown to end the second quarter, they really would have won the second quarter. And the third quarter, Virginia had their best third quarter of the season.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, that without a question, they put up 10 points, but they controlled the ball with long drives. They kept Georgia Tech bottled up. They put pressure on the Georgia Tech quarterback, who is one fast kid. I mean, that Justin Thomas, I believe his name. Yeah, 5'11", 189. He can move, and Virginia was hitting him and chasing him everywhere for his life. Very impressive to me. And to when you can totally take away the dive play to the fullback, it makes that option offense almost one-dimensional.
You know? if you take them, you stop that dive, it forces them to go outside. And that was one of the positives I wrote down as well, is our containment and kind of our pursuit was unbelievable. You saw that on those two fourth down plays in the fourth quarter. There were three or four guys right on his tail both plays.
Well, you know, they made a shift in the alignment. They brought the strong safety, Kelvin Rainey, down and made him a linebacker and moved Kaiser to the outside, and they moved
he's our defensive coordinator. They moved Rainey to outside linebacker and Bradshaw
to the middle.
I think.
And it worked like a charm. And I made, you know, sometimes just shifting a couple of guys like that, you have the right players on the field, but maybe they're more effective in other positions. And for whatever reason, I mean, to me, Kaiser got his right heel down first before his left foot touched that end line. And he clearly had possession of the ball at that point. And that would have been probably the ACC play of the week, just in terms of he ran from out of nowhere and took that ball away in the air and prevented that receiver from getting what would have been a huge touchdown for Georgia Tech.
But, well, to me, the key was after Georgia Tech did execute the onside kick.
No, Virginia was there to play.
The defense had to go back out on the field, and emotionally – they were able to pull it together and make the plays to win the game. You know, I mean, you know, in recent times, that's a game that Virginia would have let get away. On Saturday, they made the plays to seal the victory and finalize things. So that, to me, that's very encouraging.
Well, no two ways about that. Have to also give credit to Quinn Blanding, who is the defensive back of the week in the ACC, announced today by the ACC. Also, I think he had 15 tackles, and he broke up that last pass on fourth down. But also, you know, I don't think people understand how good Maurice Kennedy is. He's all over the field guarding the best player on the other team's offense, and he knocked down a pass on either second or third down, and that was a huge play. But
and the defense has clearly gotten better this year.
Oh, yeah. Don't you think so, JC?
Yeah, and I think you looked at all those position kind of adjustments we talked about that Tenuta made. And if I'm looking at the UVA game notes right, Kaiser, Rainey, and Corney all had their second career forced fumbles.
Yes.
And to be able to make a running team put the ball on the ground and then, as you said earlier, have to pass the ball, what was it, 31 or 39
31 pass attempts.
I mean, I think every ACC coach would agree that if you make Georgia Tech pass it 31 times, your chances of winning are dramatically increased.
All right, I got to pivot to one thing real quickly because we're out of time for this quick segment. But understand that you had three roommates at Virginia, all baseball players. And they're now in the major leagues. And what perks do you get out of knowing Tyler Wilson, Phil Gosselin, and Jared Parker?
You know, I think I need to take advantage of it a little bit more. But it was nice when Jared was here locally. I probably went to 30 or 40 of the Squirrels games when he played here, and it was nice because I'd walk right up, and my ticket was already at will call. So that was nice. Now that he moved on, you know, great for him. I think I need to make a few trips.
I think you certainly got to make some phone calls.
I hope my wife's listening right now, and she'll let us do that soon.
Well, what we would like to do, JC, is bring you back to talk about baseball. I know that's something you are very much in tune with, and we would love to get your thoughts. So let's defer J.C. Poma part two for later in the year and get you back, and we can get you in studio and talk some serious baseball.
I would love to do that. I'm looking forward to the baseball season.
I bet you are. Well, listen, we thank you for joining us tonight, and stay tuned with Who's Talking and stay in touch with us, and we will bring you back during baseball for some real fun, okay?
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on. I had a lot of fun.
Take care. All right. We are waiting now for Dr. Andrew Bogle, and maybe he's waiting for us. But injury reports, we are sort of thin on news with regards to injuries. Looking for some new information. I'm not sure I've got anything available. I didn't see a Virginia player get hurt in the game, which is a good thing. I know that certain players had some issues, but they've all had surgeries and they're out. Don't know if there was no news today about injuries from Coach Mike London. I don't see any news there. We do know that one of the quarterbacks for Miami, Brad Kaya, who is the presumed starter when the season started and was playing very well at the beginning of the season for the most part, 10 touchdowns and 2 INTs, he suffered a concussion on a play that didn't look too rough, if I recall from a couple weeks ago. So we suspect that Kaya will play this coming Saturday down at 3 p.m. in Sun Life Stadium when the Cavaliers play the Hurricanes. But Hobo has some news about a Richmond club event right here.
Yes. And how come I didn't get picked for this? You know, the celebrity judges judging beers. What kind of history do you have to be that? I mean, even my main man Terry Gates is the judge. But the 2015 Wahoo Cup Craft Brewers Invitational is coming up on Saturday, November the 7th from noon to 6. Not only Terry Gates, Lee Graves, Jack Lauterbach, Jay Burnham, and Kelly Lemon of 99.3 KISS FM will be some of the celebrity judges. And Scott Street Brewery, Three Notch Brewery, Champion Brewery, The Answer Brew Pub, and Strange Ways Brewing. Licking Hole Craft, Creek Craft Brewery also. Some bands out there. So a lot of things going on. That's this coming Saturday, November the 7th.
Right. This is open to the Wahoo public and everyone else. This is going to be a lot of fun. Let's see here. Licking Hole Creek Craft Brewery. Oh, that's a long mouthful there. 4100 Knowles Point Drive in Goochland this Saturday, 12 noon to 6 o'clock, to benefit the Children of Fallen Patriots, which is a national charity that provides scholarships to the families of soldiers who have died in active duty. And we are going to determine, the Wahoos of Richmond are going to determine whose craft beer scene reigns supreme in Central Virginia. Tickets are $20 in advance. Email wahoocup@gmail.com, or you can go to Twitter at Wahoo Cup, and the web is www.wahoocup.com. So get in there, get yourself a ticket, and go out there and have some fun. That should be a lot of fun. And if nothing else, give Terry Gates a hard time, because he's very concerned about how we say Louisville. But
well, I think it's me, you know. I mean,
it's okay.
I haven't graduated to that. You know, I can at least say Lexington, but I guess if you're from Louisville, you don't like Lexington anyway.
It's Louisville.
Louisville.
Vol.
Vol.
Vol. Get the vol in
vol.
There. All right, we're gonna come back in a few minutes after this last break and wrap up and preview the upcoming weekend of Wahoo and other ACC football games. Stay with us. This is Who's Talking.